No, there's another one there open, isn't there? That's it. We saw in the Beatitudes that God is looking for good character and good conduct. Good character and good conduct don't come easy. And I'll tell you, you can't have good conduct without good character. So, you know, external stuff doesn't do it. And the Pharisees at that time had an outside righteousness, an external righteousness that looked good on the outside. And sad to say, many people are turned off by church and religion. Am I right? Many people don't have anything to do with church and religion. And why is that? Because of hypocrisy. Because most of the time they see people who are religious and churchy, but they don't see people who have good character or good conduct. But God is telling us, and he was attacking that then, because he said later on, we look at the verse, it says, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, the people who were full of religion, he said, you're not even going to get into heaven. And so, but that doesn't mean the church is wrong or that Christianity is wrong. It means that people are wrong sometimes. And so my encouragement to you as we go through Matthew's gospel is, Lord, give me good character. And it's the character of Jesus. It's the strength of God that produces this. And there will be good conduct. And so we saw these here, the poor, that blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and when you are reviled and persecuted. All these things, he says, there's blessing in. And we saw that these were topsy-turvy. Much of the world doesn't think in this way. But we're going to go on from there and look at Jesus giving a word, and he says to them, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, what Jesus is telling people, he says, you can be a wonderful influence in this world. And the salt of the earth here, we're going to see, he also says, you are the light of the world. So I'm going to talk about salt and light today. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus is saying to people, he said, I want you to be salt and I want you to be light. You might say, salt? What in the world is he talking about? Well, let's look at salt for a few moments and think about what Jesus had to say. Salt and light, Matthew 5, 13, 16. So as Jesus said it, so I want each one of you to be salt and light in the world. Now let's think about salt first of all. One thing about salt in those days is that it was precious. Did you know that sometimes Roman soldiers got paid not in money, but in measure of salt? That salt was a precious commodity. It was something that was used so much staply. Remember, no refrigeration. And so in order to keep food, what did you need? Salt, right? And I mean, that's the way it used to be in Newfoundland. That's the way it used to be here in Cape Breton too. In most areas, salt was a very precious commodity. And so it was that precious that, like I said, at times you got paid in salt. And it was as valuable a commodity. You could go to buy something and you could pay with salt, because it was so precious. And Jesus said, you are salt. So what's he saying about us? We're precious. You are precious. In the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah says, God says, you are precious in my sight. You're precious. You're vital. You're important. And this is what Jesus was saying to the multitudes, the ragtag bunch that were sitting with him at the Sermon on the Mount. This wasn't the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This wasn't the religious rulers. He was telling common, ordinary people that they were precious and that they were important. And every one of us needs to know that we're precious and that we're worthwhile in the sight of Almighty God. And so we are the salt of the earth. We are precious in the sight of God. And we are precious to the world. The world needs your light. It needs your life. And the preciousness that the gospel can bring with it. Not only was salt precious, but it also was preserving. It had a preserving influence. If you had meat and you put it, you killed an animal, and you had, you know, your meal off of it, then you had meat left over. What would have happened to it if you just left it out? It would rot. Immediately, it begins to decay. But salt stops the decay. Salt prevents that from happening. It slows it down so that I can take my Gaspereau, my fish, and put them in my salt vats, and I could leave them in the vats for 5 years and then pull the fish out, and it would be just as good as the day it went in. Salt is able to do that. And that's why they would dry the cod and salt it all up in the in Newfoundland especially. It was an incredible market of it. It preserved things. It keeps things. It stops things from going bad. And Jesus is saying Christians can be salt in the world. We can be a precious commodity to the world. We can be those who stop decay. And of course, the real decay is the decay of sin. It's the misery and all the rot that's going on in our world. And all of us have experienced that rot in our own hearts, have we not? We've experienced it. And we've been rotting with the rest of the world, in one sense, spiritually rotting away. And yet the gospel comes, and the gospel comes with this precious gospel comes, and it produces a transformation in our lives. And suddenly, we are being healed, and we are not only being healed, but we're actually beginning to, instead of producing decay, we produce life. Instead of death, we have life. Jesus said, we pass from death to life. And even in that preserving influence, salt has healing influence as well. How often have you had a sore or a something where you wanted to get it healed? What do you usually do? Why, hot water and salt. That's right. You put the salt to it, and it makes a difference. And so this preserving and the healing influence of salt. Jesus said, that's what you are. That's what he wants us to be. Isn't it wonderful? Don't you notice a wonderful difference when you are... What was that? Yes. Okay, for curing up a sore or a wound or anything. Yeah, absolutely. And that's that power that it has. And it's wonderful that you can be salt and light in the world. Wouldn't it much better to be able to go out into a world and to actually be helping someone to heal rather than contributing to their misery and being miserable with them, you know? It's wonderful to be able to be there. You know, I kind of liken it sometimes to a tow truck. I've often said this, but if somebody was upside down in the ditch, and you came along, you said, gee, I want to help them. Maybe the best way I could help them is be like them. So I'll flip myself upside down in the ditch with them, and that will help. Would it? No. Well, you need to be is up on solid ground, right? Then you can reach down and love, and you can pull them up out of the ditch. Now, it's not that we don't identify with broken people. We should identify with them, but we don't have to go there in order to help them. It won't work. We have to stay on solid ground. And yes, Bill.
It's like the mentor, it's like gossip in this town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When you, if I get involved and whatever person they're talking about destroying.
Yes.
That I help them destroy. Them,
right.
You know, by saying something bad about it.
Absolutely. Good example.
Say, well, the person is human.
Yeah. No question. Good example, Bill. Good example. Because gossip and slander is putrefaction. It's rot. If we can see how rotten this stuff is, sin is rotten. I mean, you know, would you want to sit down to a meal with rotten meat full of maggots? Sorry, you guys got to eat after, right? I assure you, there's no food like that here, okay? But would you? No, and yet we feast on that rotten stuff in our world, don't we? And if we can only see, God has come to shed light so our eyes can see what's rotten and what's not. Because we're deceived. The world is deceived, and it feeds on the rot. And we, in turn, can feed on the wonderful provision of God, and we can offer it to others. And we have this preserving and healing influence. And Jesus says, that's what I want you to be in this world. Not only is it precious, not only is it preserving and healing and its influence, but what else is it? It's good for food. It's palatable, isn't it? It's palatable. It adds flavor. You know, I mean, everybody wants a little bit of salt on stuff. I know when sometimes you get on a salt-free diet, and that's a tough one, isn't it? Boy, to get on a salt-free diet, I see people who can't have salt, and they're going through reading all the ingredients, because salt is in all the food that we eat. It's in everything that we eat. But it's amazing what a little bit of salt will do on food, isn't it? It just picks it up. Yeah.
There's no salt in the food.
Oh, okay. None.
But she always asks for salt.
I see, yeah. Well, you can understand why. And you give her some? Okay, this is being taped, you know. This is being recorded. It adds flavor. Listen, Christians add flavor to the world. We add flavor. We bring life. We bring good taste to the world. Things that ought to be, and that's the way we should be. This is all what God calls us to be. Now sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're so bland. Sometimes we blend in so much that there's no distinction between a Christian and a non-Christian. Do you know the Bible says God said he came to make a difference between the righteous and the wicked? A difference, a distinguishment between the two. Oh, let us be salt in this world. Let us be those who add true flavor to the world. That we can go to broken people and we can salt their lives with flavor. We can put good things on their life. We can pour blessing on other people so that they taste good. I'm not talking about cannibalism, but that they become flavorable. And that's what Jesus said. Not only is salt all of that, it's pervading. You know what pervading means? It goes all through. It goes through everything. And salt is like that, isn't it? I remember years ago, Marie and I went picking berries, and we picked a gallon of strawberries. A big pot, like a pot that big, more than a gallon, whatever it was. It was a big pot, and she was going to make strawberry jam. And so she looked in the cupboard. This is where we were living with our mother at the time, actually. My mother, right. She's awake. I thought she was asleep there, resting her eyes. We were staying with my mother, and she went in the cupboard, and she saw some sugar and a big jar of sugar like this. So she put it in and cooked it all up, and it was boiling on the stove. And this is a lot of work, all those small little wild strawberries, all wild strawberries. And when she spooned it to taste it, guess what it was? It was salt. It wasn't sugar at all. So what happens? We had to throw it all out. It could not be eaten. Impossible. Could you get the salt out of that? No. It pervades. It goes all through. There's no way. That's the way salt is. And listen, that's the way the gospel is. That's what the light of the world is. That's the power of God. He says, listen, it pervades you. It fills you up. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in to live in one little corner of your life. He comes to live in every part of you, to go all the way through you, so that you're a new person, so that you are preserved, so that you are palatable, so that you add flavor to the world, so that you're precious and that you bring healing. All these things, it goes through everything. And Jesus said, I want you to be salt in this world. Listen, if you live in the gospel, if you walk in the Spirit of God, then you will be all these things to a broken and ruined world. That's encouraging, isn't it? God wants you to be salt in this world. Then, you know, he says this, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? What's it good for? If salt suddenly lost its flavor, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, can you imagine salt losing its flavor? Can salt really lose its flavor? Then what's Jesus getting at? Do you know in the Eastern world in that time, they didn't have salt mines in this area. Some places they did, and you could get pure salt. But most of the salt that they harvested was along the marshes and places wherever they could, and most of it was very mixed with gypsum, and it was mixed with other things. So they didn't have like pure salt. Everyday people didn't have that. They had this kind of salt that if they left it out and it rained, what would happen is that all the salt would wash, the whatever little salt there was in everything else would actually wash out, and what was left would look like salt, but it would have no flavor at all. It would have no healing power. It had nothing. It had the appearance of salt, but it wasn't real salt. Now, Jesus was getting at the very ones he speaks a little bit later about, the Pharisees and the scribes, and the fact that they looked like salt, but they had no real influence at all. Jesus was getting at an empty form of religion. We don't want it. God doesn't want an empty form. He doesn't want outward but no inward reality. And we don't want to go there, do we? We want to be real. That means being real. And sometimes that means exposing our wounds. Sometimes that means speaking about our struggles. You say
would
something.
Not be like the man building his house on sand.
It would be. It would be a false picture. And so there are people who look like they're Christians on the outside, but inside there's something radically wrong. But true character will produce right conduct. And that's what Jesus says here. He's warning. He's really giving a warning to the religious people who have an outside look as if they are something, but they're not really. It's no good. It's not real. God wants reality. And thank God that he does. Because we can say, Lord, Lord, make me real from the inside out. Lord, let me be real salt. Don't let me be the imitation stuff, because it's worthless. It will get thrown out. And as we said already, people will despise an outward form of religion without genuine character. They'll despise that, won't they? They'll trample it right under their feet because it's no good. So Jesus said that you are salt. Now he also says that you are the light of the world. Now, didn't Jesus say that he was the light of the world? So how in the world can you be the light of the world if Jesus is the light of the world? Okay, Jesus shines in us and out through us. We become reflectors of the light. Refractors of the light as the Jesus himself shines into us. And so he challenges us that not only is he the very light of the world, but he said you can be lights too. Lights burning in this world of sin, shining for Jesus Christ. You see, salt was a picture of great influence, wasn't it? And light is also a picture of great influence and illumination so that people can see. Darkness represents sin. Light represents righteousness. He said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I think I told you this little story, but I remember an old fella. He was probably 80 or 90 years old, and I was talking to him one day. This is probably 25 years ago, and he said, he lived in Margaree. I was 19 years old before I saw the lights of Inverness, and that must have been an awesome experience for him to go in his horse and buggy and come across and see all the lights on in Inverness, because it was a coal mining town, and they actually had a generator there, and it was actually electric lights, because real electric lights never showed up in the Margaree's, at least, until the 30s and the 40s. And so it was a startling thing to see. But you know what it's like if you're traveling and you're in, at night, and you're in the countryside, and suddenly you begin to get, even within 30, 40, 50 miles of a city, you begin to see the glow in the sky, especially if you're out in the prairies. And you see that. You can't hide it. It's showing. Light will tell. It will reveal itself. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You will shine. Now, when he speaks about this, it's not you forcing to shine. It's not like, oh, I'm going to try and glow today. You know, it's not like that. Not self-effort. But it's actually letting. Look what it says. I'm going to go back just to show you what it says here. What does it say in Matthew 5:16? Let your light shine. Isn't that nice? I don't have to try to shine. I just have to. That's right. I just have to let my light shine. How do I let it shine? By yielding to God. As I yield to Jesus Christ, his light shines in me and then through me and then out of me. It's not your effort that produces light shining. It is the presence of Almighty God. And as a result of that, the light of the gospel shines in your heart and mine. Praise God. It's something that God does, and he does it in us, and he does it through us. We're not the source of light. Jesus is. So you don't have to try and make it happen. We are reflectors of his light, but we are affected by the light. The light doesn't shine through us for nothing. As his light shines in us and shines out through us, we are transformed by the light. Light is not noisy, is it? No, there's no sound to light. It's not noisy. It's not clanging. It's not how loud we can be. It is actually yielding to the power of Almighty God, coming into us, transforming our character, and then going out of us towards others. It's beautiful. Not only are we affected by the light, but light affects our world. It dispels darkness. If you're a Christian who is leaning on Jesus Christ and letting your light shine, wherever you go, you're lighting up a place. You ever think of that? Wherever you walk, light begins to shine. And the world is dark. The world is very dark. Doesn't the world need to see light? The light of the gospel, the light of love, all that God can give and produce? Sadly, sometimes Jesus said, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Sadly, sometimes we don't want to let Jesus have his way. We don't want to be different in this world. We want to just kind of blend in. So sometimes we'll take that basket and try to cover up the light. Say, that people don't do that. You don't light a light and then put a bushel over it, a basket over it. When you light a light, you want it to shine, right? That's what lights are for. And God's created you as a light. As soon as you got saved, he lit you up. You're like a candle that got lit. You don't want to put a basket over that. You want to let God shine out of your life. Now remember, I said, it's not noisy. It doesn't mean we don't share the gospel with our lips. But we're going to see here that he's not talking about so much as what you say. He's talking about what you do. And that is because of what you are, because God makes you a new person. Don't put your light under a basket. Jesus said this, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Everybody's affected by light. Everybody's affected. You don't understand sometimes how much just the very presence of God in you affects other people. You don't have to preach a big sermon. Sometimes you just have to be there, be a listener, whatever it is. They look and they see something different about you. And they know that it's God. And they know that it's different because the world doesn't have that kind of light. It really doesn't. You won't find it there. But you will find it in the people of God who are allowing Jesus Christ to have his way in their hearts. And then your light shines. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is not forced. This is not you trying, like I said, trying hard. This is you trusting God. And as you walk in the Spirit of God, you allow his light to shine in your life. It will translate into your character being changed, which will cause your conduct to be different so that people will look and see the very works of God in your life. Gentleness, kindness, reaching out and loving people and caring for people, not being the gossip, but rather being the encourager, going the extra mile and helping other people, and all the other things that come with the light of the gospel shining in your lives, sharing the hope that you have within you, glorifying God, standing with the truth and not with lies. All these things, the transformation begins to happen as we allow the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ, to shine inside of us and touch those areas where darkness has been. Now the light shines, and it shines out into the world. Oh, how good this is. This is not the Pharisees. The Pharisees had an outward form, and they strained to make sure everybody saw what they were doing. You don't have to do that as a Christian. You don't have to broadcast every good work that you do. Because if you're living in the Spirit, you're allowing the light of the gospel to grow in your life, those good works will shine out of your life normally and naturally. It's not the show-off stuff. It's not to say that we won't be persecuted, because we already saw that we will be, that some people will hate the light. And the Bible actually says that people who hate the light don't want it. They don't want that light. They don't want it to shine. They don't want the presence of God in their lives or in the lives of anybody else. So there are going to be people who are going to attack the light and seek to put it out. But as Bill said, they'll never be able to do it. They'll never be able to quench that light, because Jesus Christ has that way of just shining. Even when they tried to put all the Christians to death during the Roman Empire, whenever those persecutions were on, the more they killed, the more Christians, more people became Christians. Because as they were being put to death, people saw the light shining in the very hearts and the eyes of these people who were being put to death. And it made them hungry for that light, even if they was going to put them to death too. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But he calls you to be salt, and he calls you to be light. You see, it's not that they may see your fancy speeches or fancy churches, but they may see your living, your conduct, good conduct, your good works. And as a result of it, they're not praising you, but they're glorifying who? Your Father in heaven. Somewhere along the way, when people might say to you, "Oh, you're so kind," then I say, "Well, it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Give him the glory. Thank God, because one time I was unkind. Once I was full of hate. Now I can be full of love. It's because of God. Give God the glory. We give God the glory. And as we do, others too will know, and they will say, well, this God has to be something awesome. And friends, he really is." Well, that's all I have to share. I was going to close with a song, and I think I still will. It'll only take a second. Can you put that one on for me? It's and maybe we could kill the lights. Joe, you do that for me?
Can I share something really quick?
Yes, sure, Jen.
When you're talking about the light and the darkness, and you're saying how the world is really dark.
Yeah.
Until you have the light, you don't really realize
how dark it is. That's true.
Like everybody here is who I was around, right?
Yeah.
So starting school.
Yeah. So you've walked into the dark. Yeah. Well, it's good that you can come together, and this is why it is so important that we come together, because as we come together, we become one big light together, shining together. And you feel that. Don't you feel it when you come together? We strengthen one another. Sometimes our little candles gets a little dim at times, but then you come together and all of a sudden, whoosh, oh, I start to glow again. So it's very true, Jen. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. The other video, the music one. Oh, sure, yeah. Go ahead, Joel.
Father, I just thank you for Rachel's testimony, and it meant a lot to her. I thank you that you have saved her, that you filled her with your spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, God, that she could share with us this morning.
Hallelujah.
About her coming to know you. Lord, I pray for Doug. I pray for the kids. I just pray that you keep that family together, Lord. I pray for her new job, Lord, that you bless her. Help her and Doug to get together there in Newfoundland, Lord. Let's just have a happy family setting and filled with the Holy Spirit. Help them to find good Christians that can worship with and fellowship.
Yeah.
God, I thank you for answering prayer this morning. When I prayed for Colin, Lord, you brought him in 2 seconds later.
Yeah.
Father, I give that glory to you. I just thank you that he's here. I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Now that's Joe's having a prayer of faith there. You already have that job, according to Joe. What's that, Marie? Yeah. Okay, this is just a little song called Go Light Your World.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, and some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle and makes makes his home. Carry your candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle. Hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, deceived and poor, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle. And go light your world.
For the light of the world, Jesus, and that you've come, Lord, to light us up so we can be candles, flames, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that we would light our world. Help us to light our world with the very presence and the power of Almighty God, Lord, we pray. Take us, Lord. Take us as you find us, oh God. Oh, Lord, we're weak, and sometimes we feel like our lights are pretty dim. But, Lord, the world is pretty dark. And even the smallest light can shine very brightly in the dark. And so we pray, O God, that we would be used of you to bless our world. Let us be salt and light, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for the food, Lord.